Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, comedian Omar Abid, my wife, Claire Limmer Abid, wedding celebrant Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates, who is still away on a holiday in Nicaragua. But this is the last one without her, isn't it?
This is. She'll be back on Friday's episode.
She'll be back on Friday's episode and she'll be back in time for our live show on Thursday.
Just this Thursday.
I know, I can't believe it's come round so quickly. 11th of April. The Stand Comedy Club in Newcastle.
Yeah.
A live screening of that night's dinner party and then a Q&A with expert from the show, Mel Schilling. Mm-hmm. But we do have a slightly disappointing announcement to make about that in case you've missed it on our socials.
Yeah.
We found out, well, Mel told us over the weekend that she's having another round of chemotherapy this week in her ongoing battle with bowel cancer.
Yeah.
So the medical advice has been not to travel.
Yeah.
It was originally planned as an in-person Q&A, so Mel would be there on stage with us, but of course she's got to follow the medical advice, and her health and comfort should be the most important thing.
Oh yeah, definitely. And she's still doing it, which is amazing. She's still going to be there in some form.
Yeah.
It's just not what we thought it was going to look like.
Well, exactly. When we asked Mel to do the Q&A, knowing the circumstances, we thought this was a potential, and you know, it's good that we've had some notice so we can make alternative plans.
Yeah, see how to get Zoom. Do all the practicalities of that.
Yeah, exactly. I've been talking to the venue about how to make that work smoothly. But it's going to be a great night.
She's still giving up her time and...
Absolutely,
you know, when she's going through what she's going through, it's very generous of her.
Yeah, and it sort of brings home as well, like, the importance of the fundraising aspect of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because without the fundraising thing, I mean, we just wouldn't be doing this show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're almost sold out as well.
Yeah.
Because we made the announcement on our socials. Everyone who's already bought tickets knows about the change to the plan.
Yeah.
And we've not really had any refunds.
No.
It's been like a couple.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Most people are still keen to come and watch the show together.
Yeah, because it'll still be a good night.
It'll still be fun. Boo, cheer, have a few drinks.
Speak to Mel.
Speak to Mel, albeit virtually.
Yeah, donate some money.
So if you want tickets, there are a few left. Go to the Stand website and you can find out all the details and book your tickets there.
Or you can go to the link in our bio, where there's also a link to the Just Giving fundraising page.
Yes.
For people who want to donate in support of the event and Bowel Cancer UK, but maybe can't attend or want to give a bit more. So there's a link to the Just Giving page there as well, which we've had a few donations already, which is lovely.
Yeah, that's really nice, isn't it? People who won't be able to come, but have just donated to Bowel Cancer UK, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good.
In lieu of a ticket. So it's really generous. So thank you if you've already donated. And if you're thinking about it, get on it, please.
Right, should we get on with it?
Yeah.
Monday night commitment ceremony. I like this about the Australian one, that there is a sort of structure of Monday night's commitment ceremony, Thursday's dinner party. I like that.
Predictable.
Yeah.
It's consistent.
A little bit of structure. I like it. But before they got to the dinner party, there's always some build up, isn't there? But this episode, it must be the most recapping I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
They went right back to the beginning with Tim and Sarah. They showed us Tristan and Cassandra, some Jack and Tori. But it's like watching the whole series again in kind of capsule form.
So should we have just started on Monday? Have we just wasted 5 weeks of our life?
Well, I say this to people when they find out I do a podcast about it, and they say, oh, I've never seen it. Or I've missed the first few weeks. Can I start now? It's like, yeah, honestly, you will pick it up.
Yeah.
This is how people...
Just start.
Yeah. It's how people get addicted. And if you watch 10, 15 minutes of it, it's the classic thing, isn't it? If it's always... Like Sarah said, Johnny was walking to... I think it was Sarah. You end up getting sucked into it.
Yeah,
so how I got.
They didn't used to watch it together.
It was on while
and
she was watching
it. Watching it in Nicaragua. That's how dedicated they are.
Apart from the recaps, we did see some interesting bits. I thought
pre-CC bits.
Yeah,
we did. Yeah,
there was a little bit of Jack saying to Tori, you know, how difficult everything was for him, and do you make mistakes? I bet you do.
That was so annoying. Manipulation 101. Don't we all make mistakes?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Don't we all? Have you never made a mistake? Yes, Jack, I have. Yeah.
He does a lot of that, doesn't he? It's predictable as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Listeners, friends, maths fans, first thing I want to do is apologise because the voice notes I sent last week, I was hiding in the loo. The acoustics were awful. You could barely hear me. So hopefully this is better. And then the second thing I want to say is Lauren for president. She's just amazing. Her one-liners, everything about her. And she obviously says to Jack, he acts like a politician. And so maybe she shouldn't be president because she's so unlike a politician. She's so direct. She's so funny. She's so brilliant. She calls people out. She does it in such a funny way. I'm just obsessed with her.
We also saw Tim and Sarah. She came round. It's the first time they'd had any contact since the dinner party.
Oh yeah, because slept in separate apartments. Yeah. How many apartments do you think they rent out in a series of maths? Because loads of them are sleeping in separate apartments all the blooming time.
Well, if there's a max of 12 couples, it must have 24 apartments. We saw that bit where Sarah... and this is the end of Tuesday night's episode where she stormed off.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw her going down the corridor and you were like, oh, who were those
people? Who were they?
And then we actually rewound it. We thought it was Eden.
Thought maybe Eden.
Yeah.
But she's had time to get changed.
That's true.
And Eden was just in their apartment.
Yeah, so it must have been a bit of time, a bit later on.
Because I don't suppose there's people just randomly living on the same floor.
No. It's a massive complex, isn't it? So there will still be residents, but they're not going to be on the maths floors. But they must just bump into them in KFC and...
The gym.
Yeah, God, the gym. It must be so annoying, like, once a year if you live there permanently. And then it's, all right, New Year. If you're a gym goer, New Year, oh, God, there's loads of new people coming to the gym. They'll be gone by February. But then maths season.
Yeah.
When all these proper ripped up fellas turn up in the gym with their shirts off.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it must be annoying.
Their nipple rings and their red, purple skin.
If you're a resident of Sky Suites, you must dread maths season.
Maybe they like it, though.
Bit of novelty.
It's quite fun. Good stories. You'd know who they all were before anybody else.
Yeah, but you get sick of it. It's like living in, like, every city has got a student area. Like, living in that student area is good when still good when you're not a student yourself, because it's kind of fun. There's loads of bars and all that, you know. But by the time you're getting a bit older, it gets a bit tiresome, doesn't it?
The further you are from student age, the less you enjoy it.
Yeah. Anyway,
Sky Suites aside.
So, we saw Tim and Sarah, and she was ostensibly coming to make an apology, but it was horrendous. She would say, "I'm owning it." You know, yep. She says all these euphemisms yep. for an apology and taking yep. accountability, but she doesn't actually say sorry.
I know, but she said she was taking full responsibility, mm-hmm. which is in itself is interesting because you did it. So why, like, if I go and meet a friend for a drink, I wouldn't then say, "Oh, I took full responsibility for doing that." Well, obviously,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
what I did. It was my choice.
Yeah,
it's that, like you say, that's not an apology, is it?
I drove the car into a lamppost in an empty car park. I'm going to take 80% of the responsibility.
The lamppost has to take some blame in this scenario.
Yeah, it was shocking. I'm glad Tim. I don't know why I'm still surprised that when he stands up for himself, he is quite articulate. I think it's just the tone of his voice. I suppose it's the similar problem to Jono tone. Because when Tim speaks, he's got that whole, Keanu Reeves type.
He's got the bit Bill and Ted. Like we said at the beginning, Travelin's like, whoa, and like, way, and like, dude.
But you're saying, stop telling me these things aren't the point.
Yeah.
Which was a good point. Because, you know, he said, why would you want a nice dress to look good in for your ex? He was like, it wasn't a dress.
Oh,
I never
man.
Said I wanted a dress.
That was so annoying. It was a shirt. Yeah. It was actually a shirt, because that's what matters.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the part that matters.
Yeah.
It's not what that Tim's hurt and upset and how he feels and you've lost the trust and all of that. What matters is the semantics, as Lauren would say.
Yeah.
Of it wasn't a shirt, it was a dress. Wasn't a dress, it was a shirt. Oh no,
see,
I'm gonna
she's
be in so much
you.
Trouble with Sarah.
Yeah, and he's another person I would make the comparison to, where Tim says about Sarah, "You just want to have the result that you want." Mm. That reminds me of Richie.
Mm.
I've just been like, "I've said sorry, let's move on."
Yeah,
draw
that's
a line
it now.
Under
we
it.
We should be done.
Yeah, I'm taking account. I'm taking full accountability.
Yeah,
but those are just words.
Yeah,
like
it's also very Jack speak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's draw a line under this. We're done with it now.
Yeah,
I've said sorry. It's my fault. I'll learn.
Yeah,
everybody makes mistakes. I'll learn from it.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the same stuff,
and
isn't it?
Even if it was genuine and she'd articulated it well and she wasn't arsey with him and leaving as soon as he stands up for himself. It's the first time you've seen him since he's found out that news. You know he's going to have a process where he's got to be allowed to be pissed off.
Yeah. But does she know that? Does she think he shouldn't be?
Yeah, probably. She probably thinks, that's it, I've done it, I've said sorry.
Yeah.
Box is ticked. Why aren't you moving on? You're stuck in the past.
Yeah.
She probably doesn't accept that he naturally needs to have a bit of a vent.
Yeah.
Get
a
it out of
time
his...
to just figure out how he feels about it and see if he can move on from it and leave it in the past. But she was very quick to, I need to go. When she realised, I think, that Tim was not just going to accept the apology and move on.
Yeah.
She's like, right, I need to go. And then didn't she say something to him like, stop yelling?
Yeah, when he was...
I don't think he was yelling.
Not, his voice was barely raised.
Yeah.
He was speaking with more firmness.
Yes, yeah.
But he wasn't yelling. It's
no.
like, she's desperate, really. I think a first in maths history was seeing that Cassandra had written leave.
Yeah, we saw the card.
Yeah.
Before their time on the couch.
Yeah. Mm. What do you think of what she's done?
I think probably she's right to write leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't... I mean, I was quite surprised that that's what Tristan said, that he's in love with her. We don't see that. And I guess this is like moving on to what they said on the couch, but we don't see anything between them. Like,
no.
I think I've said to you before, when the hug, it's like how you would hug your mate.
Yeah. I mean, that hug at the end of the morning discussion, where he's always like, yeah, we're going to this as a team, and just the same stuff he always says. And since you mentioned it, I watch out for the hugs, and it is like awkward and stiff. Her body language when they were on the settee in their apartment.
Mm.
She was putting a face on better than she was at the commitment ceremony, but I just like, mate, how can you not pick up on the fact that she is not in a place where she's ready to accept you saying, I'm falling in love with you. You're walking into the firing squad.
Yeah. But I was going to say he's totally read it wrong, but what has he read wrong? Like, and again, this comes onto what they say on the couch, but is he in love with her? Or does he, you know, love her because they've got a friendship bond that's quite strong and obviously they get on and she's been supportive of him and they've spent all this time together? You know, they're different feelings, aren't they? And it doesn't seem like he's got that understanding.
Yeah, he said this is the first time he's said that to a girl.
Yeah.
And it seems he's just very inexperienced, I think. Not very aware of the situation.
No. But I think she had to write leave.
I think she was right to write leave. I think there's... If it's not there, it's not there, which, you know, applies to another couple later on.
Yeah. And they have given it enough time. And she was really, really trying in the beginning.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So, you know, I know he's going to be hurt by her writing leave, but she hasn't written it lightly.
No. Yeah, there's a point where she's run out of patience and effort, which is totally understandable. Because did we ever think from the time he wrote leave a couple of weeks ago or something that they were ever really going to turn it round and suddenly be intimate and affectionate and things like that? I mean, it might improve slightly, but not to the level that she understandably wants.
No. It's been too much time now where they've just spent, what, 6 weeks as friends who live together.
Yeah.
They've spent so long as that now. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to be able to transition out of that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see what the coming week is like for them. Well, we didn't see them on Tuesday's episode, did we? So I guess we'll see them on Wednesday night's feedback week. It'll be interesting to see if they have any tasks set for them or anything like that. I'm not sure how they're going to work their way through it, really.
Yeah.
Well, we may as well move to the commitment ceremony with Cassandra and Tristan then, because it was difficult to watch, wasn't it?
Oh, God, it was so awkward.
Because he said it and he came in, you know, full of beans.
Yeah.
And then Cassandra was just, as I said, her body language in the morning wasn't great, but he definitely didn't pick up on it. But at the commitment ceremony, it was even worse and everybody picked up on it. Alessandra said, I can see you're uncomfortable.
You look uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Which she did.
She did, and it's understandable because she knows she's written leave.
Yeah.
And she has to explain. I thought her explanation was good, and that she said his version of love is different to mine.
Yeah.
Because if she'd said it slightly differently, I did think of doing a screenshot of his face and doing the, I may not be a smart man, Jenny, but I know what love is. Forrest Gump.
I know it's Forrest Gumbo, Mom. Just not sure how to react to that.
I thought it was really funny, but not quite accurate because she didn't say that he didn't know what love is.
No. I thought you were going to phase into foreigner or whatever it is.
I want to know what love is. No, I felt for him because it might be his version of love is different to hers and involves a lot less affection and and that's fair enough, you know, people can have their own version of it however they want, but you know, if it's got a match with someone else who's is the same,
exactly, and she doesn't want that.
No,
she's wanted more from him for a long time now, and he seems to think he's giving it, but she's not feeling it.
That's
and
it.
I know we don't see very much, but we're not seeing it.
No. When he says to John, you know, I'm trying, like, what more can I do? I've, you know, and
there's nothing else I can do. Or what was it? I don't understand how I can give anymore.
Yeah.
But what is it that he feels like he's been giving?
But the thing is, even if we're not seeing it, if he feels like and is genuinely running on maximum effort to do those things that he's meant to be doing, maybe he is. Maybe that is the maximum.
Yeah.
Affection he can give, but it's not enough for Cassandra.
Yeah, and in another relationship match, that might be fine.
Yeah.
That might match well with somebody else, but it doesn't match well for Cassandra, does it?
No. And when she wrote leave, they showed all the faces of the other couples and everything. Everyone was like a bit shocked, a bit gutted. And he just wanted to leg it, didn't he?
His face barely changed. And then all of a sudden he flipped into, okay, yep, great, right, we're going to have a great week. Come on, I've got 7 days. You all look brilliant, by the way, guys. Yeah. And then he's halfway off. John's like, Tristan.
Yeah.
Just sit back down. He was really just keen to put an end to that couch session, wasn't he?
Yeah, what do you think of John's advice for them there? Because I thought there would be a bit more to it. Because
he
says,
could have given them a bit more.
He's like, we've been telling you what to do every week for 6 weeks. Now you've got to work it out.
I don't know if I believe that. Have they been telling them what to do every week for 6 weeks?
I think they have. I think they have been telling him. He's been telling him, come on, you need more affection, daily rituals. They had that intervention.
Oh, they had the
thing.
Daily rituals thing.
You know,
yeah,
I think he's Tristan's had, he's been told. And again, I'll take him at his word. He's been doing what he's been told to do to the best of his ability. Because I don't think he's like, he's obviously not someone who's like thinking, ah, it don't matter, I'll find another girl.
No, that's true.
I think he is putting maximum effort in.
Yeah.
Or I trust him enough to take his word that he is. But it's just not the right, it's still not enough for Cassandra. So I think it's going to be another week of like ending on good terms. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll have a nice week together. And then I think Cassandra knows once she writes leave, there's no kind of comeback from that.
Yeah.
It's not the same as Tristan, who's very up and down.
Yeah.
I think she'll feel cruel if she writes stay next week. And is still not fully, even if things improve from now, if she thinks the week after next could be leave again, you know, it's cruel.
What has to happen this week for her to write stay? I'm not sure anything can. He said like, oh, I'll put 110% in. And it's like, well, so is that only an extra 10% than what you've already been doing? And if so, that's not really going to be enough, is it?
Yeah.
And that's not his fault as such. But I just mean, I think for Cassandra, I'm not sure what it is that could actually happen this week for her to come back to the commitment ceremony next week and say, actually, yeah, my feelings are starting to develop much more. And this, you know, we're closer and what have you. I just can't see that happening now.
Yeah, I think they're done, unfortunately.
They're done. Do you think they'll be the next couple to leave?
Yeah, probably. Mm. Commitment ceremony started, though. The first couple on the couch were Timothy and Lucinda.
Mm-hmm.
Which was very
Mama
moving.
Mama and Papa, as Tristan said.
Yeah. Timothy said, I had a bit of a breakdown, and Lucinda said, a breakthrough.
Yeah, that was good.
And it was, I don't know, a tough watch in a way. Emotional.
Mm.
I think that's the first time that I didn't cry. I definitely teared up.
At the commitment ceremony.
Because, he was, you know, just obviously we all know about his the loss of his family.
Yeah.
And he was just telling people about it publicly. You know, he'd sort of already had that moment with Lucinda privately.
Mm-hmm.
And then struggling to get through it.
Yeah. Yeah, and she was really like, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
You're so brave. Like, really encouraging to him, wasn't he? Wasn't she?
She was. It was a really nice... It was a really nice moment. And he's always said how she's been supportive to him. Well, apart from that one time when he thought she blindsided.
She threw him under the bus.
Yeah. Oh, this goes... Just to quickly go back to Tristan and Cassandra, because I wanted to say that Tristan said he felt a bit blindsided. I don't know how you get around that. They're like... They separate them from the morning of the commitment ceremony to go and write their stay and leave, and then they see them again.
Yeah.
I've blindsided. It makes it sound a bit mean, but...
I know, and really, I would like to know how Cassandra responded to Tristan when he said he was falling in love with her.
Mm.
Because I can't imagine she said, oh yeah, I love you too.
Yeah.
And then went to the couch and said, leave, I don't love you.
That's right.
So, you know, can you have been that blindsided? Because I imagine she found a way to sort of receive what he was saying, but I don't think she would have said the same thing back.
I bet she said something like, oh, it's really nice to hear that.
Yeah.
And he took that as, brilliant, that's landed well.
Yeah, he probably then moved on to the next thing anyway.
Yeah.
Like, he's so quick to move on to something else, he was probably off.
Yeah, in exactly the way that Jack apologised to him and gave him those awful presents.
Oh, God.
Tristan doesn't see the layer, what's actually going on there.
Yeah.
He sees the superficial, oh, it's an apology, oh, he got me something.
Oh, she said it was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. He doesn't actually read the emotion underneath it. But anyway, back to Timothy and Lucinda, they were talking about the hug. Mm-hmm. She said it's one of my favourite hugs of my life.
Top five hugs.
Yeah. Which I think I'm pretty confident she'll have a list.
Yeah.
Of hugs.
Yeah. She'll probably have a whole journal dedicated to hugs.
Then we got to Jaden and Eden, I think.
Yeah. They were after Lucinda and Timothy.
Right. I don't feel there's that much to say about them yet. They featured more in the whole Sara thing, especially Jaden.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They seem to be... I don't know if they were still committing to that lie about how Jaden had seen the text messages.
Like in real time.
Yeah. So then they had to say in front of people, we've been arguing because Jaden saw the messages, so then we were arguing about how to bring it up to Sara, or whether or not...
Oh, yeah, so then I had to bring it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they had to put on that little pantomime in front of the experts. Or if it's genuine, if they were genuinely arguing, because we didn't see any of that.
Well, if they were genuinely arguing, then that interaction where they sat on the grass at the retreat, and she told him, and he said, who was it?
Yeah.
And she said, Sara. Then that was fabricated.
Yeah.
Fabricated?
Yeah, yeah. One way or the other, something's been made up for our benefit.
Our benefit, I think.
Or their benefit.
Probably that little interaction at the retreat was for our benefit, so that we could find out who the messages were from and what they were about.
So you think Jaden did actually see them?
Probably, yeah.
Right, okay.
I think that makes more sense, because it makes more sense as to why Eden was saying, oh, I might lose my relationship with Jaden.
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Okay, yeah. I suppose that does make more sense. Otherwise, there's not really much to say about him.
No, I'm going off him a little bit.
Going off Jaden?
Yeah.
I'm going off him a bit. I mean, we'll come to it more with this feedback
with the Sara
week.
Thing.
It's. Yeah.
He said something like, oh, well, you're with the big dog now.
Right.
That put me off.
Yeah. Next couple, Andrea and Richard.
Ooh.
Which, yeah. I mean, it's a broken record, this, isn't it?
Well... Yes and no. Some of it was new.
Oh, he said they haven't kissed for 6 weeks.
6 weeks? How long have they been in there?
Well, this is... Because I did a tweet, and a lot of people said, yeah, it doesn't... Somebody, I can't remember the name, said the maths isn't mathing.
I think Sarah said that.
Oh, Sarah said it as well. Okay, yeah.
Unless you've both read that on Twitter.
I wanted to raise a point about Richard and Andy, because the maths ain't mathing for me. I don't understand how he said they hadn't had a kiss for 6 weeks, and she didn't correct him. So in their heads, that must be the case. But as far as we're concerned, as the viewers, he only had that outburst that she had her walls back up from when he said about the licking and stuff, when he had that, outburst about their sex life. That was only, 3 or 4 commitment ceremonies ago, wasn't it? So how have they not kissed for 6 weeks? Anyway, that didn't make any sense to me, but she didn't correct him, so that must be the case of how they see it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe when you're in the experiment, you just don't have a good concept of time, because somebody else said something about, oh, we've only been here 2 weeks. It might have been Jade. And I was thinking, they haven't been here 2 weeks?
Yeah,
that's was true. In another episode, I think. But
but Michael Harmston, friend of the show, said... that when they say again, it's another production thing. When they say a week, they don't mean 7 days, they mean commitment ceremony to commitment ceremony, which could be 10 days, just the filming schedule, but they have to say on camera weeks.
So a week could be 4 days.
Yes,
if they've gone commitment ceremony, task, dinner party, commitment ceremony. There might actually only be 3 or 4 days in between.
Exactly. Or conversely, then the following week, as we would think of a week, there's 10 days of filming, or then there's a break because someone's, they're not calendar weeks, they are filming weeks, so this is why they might be there longer than we actually see. If that all makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the big thing from it was... another production thing, I guess, that when they were on the couch, but then they were shown later sat with the group, that she was wearing different clothes.
It was only one, split second, and I've never really noticed it before.
Yeah.
But when they were on the couch, she had, a long sleeve, brown, kind of floaty patterned dress.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cut to them and their reaction to what somebody else on the couch was saying.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who that was. And she had the bardo, so sort of the straight over, straight across, you can see the shoulders and everything.
Yeah.
White, patterned, floral She just looked totally different.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that's no good.
You're not the only person to notice that. I missed it both times. Mm. Well,
were you on Twitter?
I was on Twitter, but a lot of people on Twitter were saying, what's that continuity error about?
It's a big one.
Yeah.
Because that must have been from a different week.
Yeah, but why put a shot of that? If for whatever reason they needed a shot of
Andrea and Richard.
Why would they specifically need a shot of them at that point? I don't know.
Maybe they felt they hadn't been shown enough.
But don't just put in a shot from another week. Because
one will notice. She looks totally different. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I didn't even notice what Richard was wearing. But, you know.
Well, he didn't have his little scarf on. He didn't have a little scarf at this commitment ceremony.
Oh. That's because he's only feeling half himself.
Yeah, that was like a whole thing about... Because I get she was joking. I mean, you know...
He is very sensitive. Because it was obviously a joke.
I mean, you know what, though? I say she was joking, and I think she was, but it felt like there was 20% truth in it.
And, well, with most jokes there are they not, Omar?
Well, maybe. But also it's the kind of joke that you can... You should probably only make when you're in a better place.
Mm,
you know he's, yeah. You know, I think that's more likely to
sting.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. But maybe also she was trying to make light of it being on the commitment ceremony couch and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like sort of trying to make light of it to the experts a little bit and,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they haven't been in a good place for a little while, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she was trying to sort of say, oh, we've been able to do this week. And sort of making a bit of light of it. I don't know.
I mean,
but he wasn't happy about that, was he?
Yeah.
Being half himself and her preferring it.
Well, he feels he's getting mixed messages because, you know, keeps being told, yeah. I'm a nice guy and this and that. And then on the other hand, I'm too loud and too bombastic and all this sort of stuff. And most importantly, the intimacy has disappeared.
Which is a nosedive, isn't it?
Yeah.
2-4 times a day to no kissing.
In six weeks.
That's a nosedive.
I wonder if...
But I think, and I wonder if this was cut off, because I think what has put her off so much is obviously how he was with the, you know, words that he used about their sex life. And when she was talking about, like, the tone and there not being enough softness, and she was referring to that.
Yes.
Not necessarily how he is as a person, like in other aspects of his life. I think what she was meaning was, like, that was harsh. She found it disrespectful. It maybe, and if she's had abusive relationships, you know, it has kind of triggered some feelings that she's had before. And it's that softness that she needs in that particular area.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he isn't a lovely man.
Yeah.
You know.
We've seen it before where she's said that.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling the intimacy feelings with you at the moment.
Yeah.
And he said to them on the experts, no, Andrew said to me she has no feelings for me.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not quite what she said. Mm-mm. You've taken a small thing she said from one aspect of your relationship and blown it up to represent the full relationship, and that's not what she said. He's very sensitive, and yeah, I don't know. They might be going next week.
Oh, maybe. Neither of them have written leave thus far, have they?
No, they keep saying they see potential and all this sort of stuff, but I don't know.
But that does run out at some point, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh wow, that would be a big deal if they left.
Yeah, it would be. Older couple.
Mm.
Obviously, I don't know why that's relevant.
OG couple.
Yeah. Then we got to the happy section, which included Jono and Lauren.
Oh, for the first time ever. In their matching blue shirts.
Yeah. There wasn't really much. They said they were having more fun. And
the retreat was good for them. The retreat?
Yeah.
Have we just come off the retreat?
Yeah.
Wow, that feels like ages ago. Yeah.
Yeah, the retreat and then the dinner party.
That's
stuff.
Right.
Yeah. It does feel like ages ago.
It's like when you go on holiday and you get back and you're like, have I just been on holiday? Like, so long ago. That'll be Sarah next week.
Yeah. It was only like weekend ago that it was Easter weekend.
Goodness, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't know. Not much to say about them. And then it was Jade and Ridge.
Yep.
Who were still going along all right. They said they told the experts about meeting the daughter.
Yeah, they're securely in the happy section, aren't they? They never get moved.
They're a fixture. Not as yet. I can tell, by the way, I've started just doing it as soon as the first couple comes on where it's the happy section.
Mm.
The reason I know it's going to be the happy section is the music.
Yeah.
What they did this week was, when Jono and Lauren sat down, it was piano music. But it was interesting. It started off sort of just a bit plinky-plonky, but then I imagine if you put on the audio description, it would turn into what would be described as hopeful piano music. Because sometimes I put subtitles on.
Yeah.
Just because we've missed what's actually been said. And they do stuff like that.
Deadpool.
Oh, yeah, like Deadpool, yeah. And sometimes it'll say, like, ominous piano music.
Oh, yeah.
Momentous music builds and things like that.
And this one would be hopeful, cheerful music.
Yeah, exactly. So I knew it was going to be right. We're going to have at least two couples.
Yeah.
And it was Jono and Lauren.
Yeah, Jade and Ridge.
Jade and Ridge. They're all good.
They're great.
Let's move
That's
on.
It. Yeah. Well done.
And then I don't know whether to be happy about Jade and Ridge or nervous, because they are so crazily unproblematic. It's very odd for maths. Like, I don't think we've seen a couple be this into each other without any hiccups. In fact, he's like smoothly met her kid. They've just smoothly integrated into living with each other. They both seem to really fancy each other. It seems really equal. He's helped her through her like confessions week stuff. I'm just like, is there a huge bump in the road ahead, or is this them just together and they suit and this is great? Like, what does everyone think?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Stephen and Michael.
Well,
see, this is, I feel a bit for Stephen, you know.
For Stephen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think he's getting a bit of a short end of the stick.
Okay.
Because, yes, he's doing what we are sort of applauding Cassandra for doing.
Okay.
I'm not feeling spark.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been demonstrated to me by how quickly I felt a spark with someone else. I don't think I'm ever going to get that spark. So what is the point of continuing this process? I think when he speaks, because later on when he talks to Sarah, I think when he speaks, he's very logical. It's very clear. He makes sense. It's just, it's we'd feel sorry for Michael, but I think Stephen's doing the right thing.
Yeah, but I think that's part of the problem. He's too logical. Makes too much sense. You need some emotion in a relationship.
Yeah, but I think he is acknowledging that he can have that. He's had, you know, he has that little attraction or flirtiness or whatever.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have it with Michael. He's aware that that bit of X factor is missing with Michael.
Yeah.
I remember him saying, like, last week, and I thought, oh, this is a good point, to be fair.
Mm.
Of, no matter how many exercises you do, can we ever really build that? And I think it's a fair point. If you don't have that X factor with someone, then what's the, like, we've all done it. We've been on dates and you're like, on your first date, you're like, yeah, this person's nice enough, but
yeah,
there's the spark, yeah.
Not quite there.
Yeah.
No, I do know what you mean, but I think, different to Cassandra, he hasn't made as much effort. And
well, that's true.
I think he decided quite early on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was solidified by, oh, well, I wasn't your first choice anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it just kind of like, I think he just shut off after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the difference really with how Stephen has been and perhaps some of the other couples where there hasn't been an initial attraction. I don't think he did really try, and that was Michael's issue.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, because we saw the wedding, they were good.
And they got on and they were flirting a bit. And yeah. I think if he was honest with himself, there was a bit of a spark.
Yeah. And then, but that's when he heard about being the second groom for Michael. Honeymoon, we saw him a little bit, but not really.
No, they had that chat about him feeling insecure that he wasn't the first choice. And
yeah, you know. And then as soon as they moved in together, that's when Michael seemed to be... Stephen said that Michael was too feminine for him. They were talking about plants and things. Yeah, see, you're right. He's not put any effort in.
No, because even when... I know it all could be editing and stuff, but even when Michael was like, oh, we could do this to the flat. No, he was trying to get excited and like trying to get, you know, a bit of a connection going with Stephen. And Stephen's just like, didn't even return his fist bump. I mean, that is minimal effort.
And then, of course, they went on the retreat having had the...
Yeah,
argument
the
about
the
flirting. So it's all just, you're probably right. He's not putting enough effort. In a way, I don't know if I've seen a couple like that on Maths before, where someone hasn't dragged it out. You know what I mean? Because you're right. He probably should have put in an extra week's worth of effort or something. But
I just think he should have put more effort in from earlier in the process.
Yeah.
Like, fair enough now. If he's done, he's done. Fine. They've been in there a few weeks, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But earlier on, he needed to make more effort.
Yeah. Feel sorry for Michael.
Yeah.
Because that's two grooms. To go on one series and be rejected twice.
I know. And I think he could be good for Maths. Because he seems likeable, he would get involved in a bit of drama like he did with Sarah.
Yeah.
But not in an awful way that people would dislike him. I think people would really warm to him. He seems close to Cass. You know, he seems like a character that people could really get on board with and really like and connect, you know, like root for him in his relationship.
Yeah.
But it feels like he hasn't quite had that opportunity. Well, twice.
Jack and Tori. This was fun. It was fun just watching John list all of Jack's indiscretions.
You might think I'm done.
Yeah.
But it just keeps going.
Yeah. When you think I might be done, I'm not. I don't want to keep going, but I'm going to.
But I will.
Because I had actually forgotten about the whole, you can sleep with my wife on the... Well, it'll be this week. It's the partner exchange.
I was thinking that, yeah.
So we'll see.
Or are they just not doing that? Are they doing it differently?
Well, I think that's going to be on Wednesday's episode.
Okay.
I think.
But they're not doing it, unless they're doing it the following week. But do you remember last year when they had to, like, sort of actually move in?
Oh, yeah,
do you remember? Because
that
was the Leighton and Melinda sticking point.
Yeah, you're right.
I wouldn't live with Harrison for 3 days or whatever it was. But that was the thing, wasn't it? They actually moved in.
That's right.
So is that an upcoming week? Or have they scrapped that just in case of what Jack has said?
Right. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. We'll see, I guess. Yeah, so the list of indiscretions and
I mean, I'd sort of even forgotten about that ditched your girlfriend before coming in or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the very first one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I told her that he was working away.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And Alessandro was basically saying to Tori, you should just leave.
Yeah.
It was virtually saying to her, like, how much... The same thing that some of the other girls have said.
Yeah.
Like, what is your limit?
Yep.
Like, at what point do you think you're gonna change? Because you could tell Tori was genuinely upset about what he'd said to Tristan.
Yeah.
Because there's no defence for that.
Yeah.
All the other stuff he can sort of talk around, like... Oh, my ex was crazy, because no one was really there to see that.
Yeah.
But there's no... It was obviously a comment that was hurtful, given that you're not mates with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you might be having banter, but it's just bullying if you're not mates with them.
Yeah.
And there's no back and forth, as we discussed previously. So she was clearly hurt by it, and she was like, but, you know, I need to see actions now, because, sorry, it's mm-hmm. just words. Now I need to see actions, but to see actions, I need to stay.
Yeah.
So now, for God's sake.
Yeah. But the trust is gone.
Yeah, the trust is under question.
Under question, that was it, yeah. Because didn't Jack say something about, yeah, they're my top three values, trust and respect.
Yeah.
I think you might be missing something, Jack.
No, the number one was trust, number two was and, number three was respect.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. It's all about the context, isn't it?
But yeah, Alessandra said the... people will show you who they are. Pay attention to what you're seeing.
She said Sarah's favourite thing.
Yeah.
And she said it twice.
Well, once before the reveal of the stay or leave, and then once after. She was really, like, giving her a hard... What's Paddington? A hard stare.
Oh, yeah. A hard stare. Oh. Make me want to watch Paddington now, not Forrest Gump.
I'm not sure if it was a maths first, the way we saw Alessandra talking to Tori at the commitment ceremony, almost as if Jack wasn't there. She was looking directly at her and saying, pay attention to what people show you about themselves. Pay attention, like, keep your wits about you. Talking about Jack, and so directly, as if he wasn't there, like, warning her. It was fascinating to watch. And the way John listed all his misdemeanors all in one to try and have such an impact to the group, to Jack himself, to Tori. I mean, that was great television.
Yeah, and she said something like, I insist you notice.
Yeah, yeah.
I insist. So you better notice, Tori.
She's not going to notice. No. She's dug her heels in now. He could do anything. He could do whatever he wanted. He's not going to... And the more people say it now, she's entrenched, so she can't... It's going to just make her dig her heels in even more. If she was going to... If there's any flicker of her doing... of leaving, she would have done something by now. This is the most we've seen her go against Jack because of that Tristan comment. And she wasn't that wound up about it. She wasn't that vociferous. She wrote stay.
Yeah.
She's in... They're in till the end, I think, now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And really... What can the experts do about that? You know, they can give all the advice that they can in the time they've got, but, you know, if they choose to stay together, that's it, isn't it?
I do think, because I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, he should be kicked out, you know, they kicked out Brad from this, but I do think there's a difference. Like, there's no... Jack is being a dick. You know, he's doing all the gaslighting and this and that, but I think there was a physical... issue with the level of the arguments that Brad and Shona were having. Not that there was, as far as we know, not that there was any physical violence, but, you know, that they would be shouting in each other's faces, and, you know, it was escalating to that point from the interview we did with Shona.
Yeah,
I think there was a there is a difference.
Yeah, and has anybody ever been kicked off the Australian one?
No one springs to mind.
No.
No one springs to mind. But I just think, you know, like, it's that age-old thing in these kind of situations that I suppose, like, Tori keeps saying, you all need to leave me alone, I'm happy. You have to trust that I know what I'm doing, this is a good relationship. And in the absence of any overt, like I say, physical issues or anything, like, well, really, what can you do?
Well, you can't. If that's the type of relationship that she is choosing, then... people have to just accept her choice. She's been given the advice, you know. And at least we have seen her assert some boundaries this week with Jack. Like, I'm not okay with that. At least she has said that, and she's stuck to it, and she's said it more than once, and she hasn't been, you know, won round by his, no, we're drawing a line under it now. No, it was banter. No, it was no, I didn't mean it. You know, she hasn't sort of accepted that stuff. At least she's put a bit of a boundary in there.
Yeah.
So it's something, I suppose.
It's something, but like I say, I just think they're going to be until the end, and they're just going to be in the little Jack Tory world and thinking everyone's against them, which to a certain extent they're against Jack. Well, no, to a massive extent they're against Jack. Less so against Tory. They're trying to help Tory, but she thinks the people are coming for our relationship.
Yeah.
They're there till the end, I think.
Well, they have to be there to the end because... we know how competitive she is with the other couples.
Right.
So they're going to have to make it to the end and they're going to have to stay together. Yeah. And then they've like completed the game, you know, and then go from there. They won.
Last couple, Tim and Sarah.
Of course they were last.
Which was, it was awkward, wasn't it? I mean, they just did the, it was like being on trial. Sarah, where mm-hmm. where John was just like, do you have feelings for your ex? What's mm-hmm. the relation nature of your relationship with your ex? And how, when did you split up? You know, it was just kind of going through things. Very simple questions that you can't really evade. And this is how she got caught up in the whole, we split up 6 years ago. For 4 years after that, we were hooking up, but then not for the last 2 years. Alessandra, but didn't you say you slept for them a month before the experiment?
Yes.
And she says, yes. Like, I've seen someone suggest that she's now saying that it was two different exes, which sounds like nonsense.
That can't be right.
No, it can't be right. But given given the stuff we've seen on the show, no matter how much it's edited, the stuff that she has admitted to already on the show, it can't be two different exes.
Yeah, and Lucinda said something at the dinner party, like this same guy, and Sarah said yes.
Oh, I thought you meant when she said, how long have you been comfortable with adultery? Yeah.
No, she asked her, oh, the same guy. And Sarah said yes.
Okay, there
we
go.
I can't remember what the question was about, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Sleeping with this guy, maybe.
Yeah.
So, I don't know about that.
I couldn't imagine Sarah saying something that she hasn't thought through and then being caught out in a lie. So,
you know.
Yeah. I mean,
how old is she?
She's 29, 30, and we had people from the group, you know, chipping in, and she kept going, thank you guys, it's my time,
it's not a dinner party.
But she's been happy to throw stuff in from the sides, you know.
Well, has she though? Because I'm trying to think back of who keeps throwing things in from the sides, and it tends to be Jaden Timothy. He did it under his breath.
Yeah, Jaden in particular with this one.
Lauren, she'll throw some things in from the side.
Yeah.
Jono when it's Ellie. And then, I don't know if we've ever seen Sarah do that.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
At the commitment ceremony.
That's true, actually. That's
but anyway, it wasn't. Yeah. This is my time on the couch.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they all had something to say, didn't they?
John, and when she said, oh, we're just, we're friends.
Yeah.
And John was like, friends don't get naked.
Yeah.
You know, and she goes, you can keep saying I have feelings for my ex, but I know how I feel.
Yeah.
It sounds like...
Because they were saying, like, your behaviour suggests otherwise.
Yeah.
But she was just like, well, you can say that. But I know how I feel. Okay, yeah. Well, so why does your behaviour suggest otherwise? Do you want to think about that, Sarah? No, she doesn't want to think about that.
And we saw the classic, another good, John's been really good this year.
Mm.
I think when he said your fight style is combative and aggressive, Tim's scared to mention anything to you, and when an issue does come up, there's not an apology, there's not a sense of remorse or accountability.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was demonstrated perfectly by her just talking over...
Over Tim. But also John said something like, it's going to make it hard for someone to date you.
Yes.
I thought that was a bit harsh.
Well, I think it's true, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. We've all got things that would make it hard for someone to date us, surely. You know, it just seemed a bit harsh. It seemed a bit mean.
But the thing is, she doesn't even seem aware of the issues.
Mm.
It is a thing of, like, she's defensive. And when you say you're defensive, she says, I'm not defensive. Well, you have to at least be aware of the fact that you are being, like, defensive. Yeah, or whatever, you know. Or if someone, sometimes when people say in an argument or some, you know, we hate that when you're like, oh, look how rational I'm being and you're being really angry. Sometimes when people do that with me, you know, I don't get angry that often, I don't think, but as if there's some shame in being angry.
Yeah.
So I say, yeah, I am fucking pissed off, you've been a dickhead. And I might feel differently later, but again, as I said earlier about Tim's response when she first went to see him. In this moment, I am right to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get that off my chest.
Yeah.
And then we can move forward from there, you know. But there's some kind of like shame of being like, oh my God, he or she has lost their temper.
Yeah. Well, it is a natural kind of response to a lot of stuff, isn't it? It's there for a reason. But then I also hate it when people use it in the opposite way, like, oh, don't make me angry. Or why?
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember who it was, but remember in previous years, that has really annoyed me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, don't get on my bad side. Don't mess with me.
Well, Tory does it
it's
a lot.
Like, oh, if you're angry, you're angry.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Oh, okay, I'm going to go to war with Timothy. Timothy's absolutely schooled you at two dinner parties. It's embarrassing. You think he's some, like, really intelligent, you know, you're going to win every debate. He got absolutely smashed both times. Anyway, right.
Anyway.
Yeah, it was bad though that she started talking over him and then was like, oh, can I just finish what I was saying? I was just getting to a point and now I don't know where I was at.
Oh, that was awful.
And that's where Stephen stepped in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're so worried about being in the right that when your partner, who you say is your priority, tries to speak, you shut him down. She was like, when did I do that?
literally just now. Yeah. Yeah, she does need to learn a few things, doesn't she?
Do you think they're going to be leaving next week, or do you think they'll stay?
Next week.
Well, they're going
next
to be here.
Next commitment ceremony.
Yeah, they're going to be here for another week, she
Yeah, because we put... Well, we said that, didn't we? We thought she'd put stay.
Oh, yeah, we did. We did. Do you think it's just to repair her image? I sort of assume it's just to repair her image.
I imagine so. I mean, I don't think... I think she likes Tim, but I don't know if that's what she's really there for.
Nah, she's not. She likes him enough to be like to... as a suitable enough person to go through the process with, but she's not bothered about him.
Yeah. So I imagine it's, well, I don't know. Is it to kind of have a bit of a success story?
I suppose it depends really on what Tim's attitude is. Because really, you should put leave again next week, regardless of what happens, because it's done.
Yeah.
But he strikes me as the kind of guy she might be able to win him round enough to put stay.
Yeah, well, we have some thoughts about that, don't we? From the next episode.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, let's go into the feedback week episode then. We'll start with Tim and Sarah, continue with them.
Okay.
Because they met up again and he had 3 pages of notes.
Oh, yeah.
Which she was surprised about. I've made a lot of references to Friends this series, but I didn't do it on Twitter this time with this one, but I did think of the Rachel's letter to Ross, 5 pages front and back.
Yeah.
of him accepting responsibility for the things that had gone wrong. Although they edited it and made it really look like she was... I thought, to be fair, when she took that top page, I thought she was going to rip it up for a second.
That would have been really bad.
That would have been bad. But she took it... She said she took it all on board.
Yeah. I mean, I think... she managed to compose herself because there were a few, like, you know, sometimes our facial expression is quite kind of pissed off.
Yeah.
And she does like a bit of a pout when she's pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there for most of this interaction, that particular face. And then she did make a comment, something like, there's 3 pages of things. And I sort of think, whoa, she was on the verge.
Yeah.
Of just going, no, I need to leave, I need to go. She was on the verge of losing it, I think. But she managed to keep it together.
For that meeting.
For that meeting.
And then there was the one later on.
Yeah, yeah.
But also the thing she said was that, are there any tangible things you need from me? And I was saying you should ask to see her phone. But again, that'll come up with the meeting later in the episode.
But he wants more physical affection is what he
says. Yes, he did say that. That's true.
And he must really like her.
Yeah,
because
I remember
he
saying
wrote
this.
The list.
Yeah, that's right. Go on.
Because if you were done and if you thought, right, you've met your ex, you've lied, you've probably done something physical with that person, I've had enough, like, I'm done. And so, of course, he wrote leave. But if he was really kind of finished with the relationship because of that betrayal, I don't think you would make the effort to write the list. Because the list is, I need these things from you.
Yeah.
So if in your mind that relationship was fully done, you wouldn't write the list, because what would the point be? Why would you bother? If you were so hurt and betrayed that you didn't want to be in that relationship anymore, then that's it. You wouldn't do anything. She would have to do all of the things without you having to make the list or talk about it or initiate some sort of discussion. Mm-hmm. You know, you would just be, well, that's it, I'm done. We'll see what she's got to say, but I'm not.
If you were done, you wouldn't need a list to remember that t-shirt you've been sleeping in. I want it back. That's it. But you're right, you said that while we were watching it, and I thought it's a good point. Yet again, it's Tim making the effort,
exactly,
to giving her the blueprint of how they can repair the relationship. It's like, well, shouldn't she be doing that?
I know. And even him saying, I want more physical affection.
Yeah.
That's him saying, this is what I need from you, which is helpful if you're trying to repair a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But you would only try to repair a relationship if you were still in it. And you still cared for that other person and saw a future and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe Tim does. He really likes her, he wants to be with her. Otherwise he wouldn't do any of those things.
No, that's true. This is yeah, maybe they will end up staying for a bit longer than I initially thought.
Mm-hmm.
I guess let's talk about Timothy and Lucinda and Jack and Tori together.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the notes I've got, Timothy was a bit upset that he hadn't stood up for Tristan more.
Yep.
Especially at the commitment ceremony.
Yeah.
Because he said I just should have just called him a dickhead in front of everyone, which he has done before. So.
Well, he did say, didn't we, how many times do we have to call Jack a dickhead?
Yeah.
It's getting a bit boring now. And then he said something like, credit to him for continuing to deliver.
Yeah. He said, at the next dinner party, I can't wait to pull that guy from one end of the table to the other. Metaphorically, there won't be any violence. Like, I don't know if it's a little bit of boredom as well. Obviously, he doesn't like Jack, but it's something to do, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think they are just picking at him now because they know they'll get a reaction. And we saw a preview of Wednesday night's episode, and they're planning something to...
Some letter.
Yeah, to go even further down that road.
God.
But the reason I said to talk about them together is because, and I guess maybe it was Lauren who brought this up actually, was that Jack has called some of the women gym rats.
Yeah.
Which we've not heard. It's the first we've heard of it. And it's like, so if you don't train and everything, you're a whale. And if you do, you're a gym rat.
Yeah.
And you know what, though? And I sort of know the mentality of some guys like that. They probably almost think of themselves as gym rats.
Mm.
You know, just live at the gym, love it. It's like slightly self-deprecating thing. So it's not necessarily as offensive as... Well, I don't think it's as offensive as the whale comment.
Yeah.
But I just think, like, when you're in a situation where the list of things you've done wrong is going on across two advert breaks, like, maybe be more careful about the language that you're using.
But you'd only be more careful if you cared.
But he's going to learn from
it,
Claire.
He doesn't care.
He's going to learn from it. We all make mistakes. Have you made mistakes? I bet you have.
That's life, isn't it? That's life. Let's move on.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, it's only the women that are gym rats.
No, this is sort of what I mean. We've heard that from Lauren, but I don't know, have I heard guys talk about other guys as gym rats? I'm not sure if I have, actually.
Mm.
I'm not sure if I have. But no. I've heard that kind of...
Yeah, but Lauren said he calls the women gym rats.
Yeah, yeah. And again...
So even if other people use it for any gender,
yeah,
Jack is using it for women.
You know, Jack lost the benefit of the doubt about
many moons ago.
Yeah, week one. So yeah, fair enough. It was interesting that we'd not heard that before.
I know. Oh, it just speaks to his, like, you know, I'm so above everybody at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like kingpin at the gym.
Well, I enjoyed Jono and Lauren setting the questions for them. I mean, the ones that she asked as a joke were brilliant. Tori, do Jack's outfits embarrass you? Why can't you work out what size pants you should wear? Is your hair a toupee? And the best one... Do you realise you are purple?
It's interesting that, isn't it? Because, so he does actually look purple in real life. Because sometimes you wonder if it's, I don't know, just how you come across on film. You'd never know until you actually saw yourself.
Well,
but
true.
But he's actually purple in real life.
And it's just made me think back to that commitment ceremony where they stayed behind. I likened it to a post-credit scene in a Marvel film. Mm-hmm. And I called him, in the tweet, I called him Red Thanos. I could have just called him Thanos.
Yeah, stupid.
But then, you know, she's saying, like, I'm going to call him out. Why would anyone be scared of an elf? He's a leprechaun with a top, with a top knot who shops in the kids' aisle. She was really going for him. But to be fair, like the questions they asked.
The ones they actually asked.
Yeah, she said there was a point where she said, right, let's get serious now. The questions they asked were decent, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't answer them in any...
Well, no, because he already said to Tori, I'm just going to disregard anything Lauren says. Yeah. So what's the point? Like, you know, they both know that they're not taking this hard-hitting questions task seriously because it's Lauren.
Yeah.
Why would I listen to anything Lauren has to say?
Mm-hmm.
So he just had already set his stall out there anyway, hadn't he? And then she said something like, oh, can't we have this conversation in the hallway? I don't want them in here. Which I thought, whoa, that's how I thought you two were best friends, weren't they?
Tori said that?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that completely, yeah. Really?
I don't want them in here.
Ugh.
Can't we have this conversation in the hallway? I mean, it's very like, they're shit and we're amazing.
Yeah.
And this is their whole mentality that's clearly, it's coming through with Tori as well, as we know from Cass.
Yeah.
How she was with the food chain. Mm-hmm. Now it's, they're not even worthy having in our apartment, so we'll do it in the hallway.
Yeah, that
it's
I didn't
like
miss
she says
that.
These things that are really just in the same way that Jack does.
Yeah,
they're so like flippant, but they're also so derogatory to other people.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, and there's just no idea what makes them special, like at all. Nothing.
Well, no, I mean they're just people in the same way that the other couples are.
Yeah.
Why would you automatically think that you're above everybody else because you go to the gym a lot? In Jack's case.
And then the question, I think the big question was about kids.
Oh yeah.
And he said he would imagine kids in two years.
Oh my god.
Which I think we've got a voice note from Sarah about this, but it just totally, that was enough for Tori then. Even if she doesn't actually want kids within 2 years, that's a sign of his commitment to
her.
It's an obvious point, but the way Jack talks is just so irritating. The way he sidesteps any responsibility for the things he does. He uses language like, oh, I'm under fire again, there's a target on my back, or they're after us, they're out to get us. I'm like, no, fuck around, get found out. Like, it's the stuff you do, the stuff you say, the stuff you get yourself into. And he seems like either he's really thick and doesn't realize it's him who's done it, or he's obviously just trying to like wheedle his way out. And it's annoying that it keeps working on Tori. When they did the thing with Jono and Lauren asking them questions, it backfired. Tori came out liking him more because of his stupid line about wanting kids in the next 24 months, which is such a lie. It's such a lie, and it's so funny. And Lauren was just sat there like, what is happening?
I just can't help but think that's like proper tactical, that.
Right.
Do you not think? But maybe that's, you know, maybe he really does. But I feel like the cynic in me feels that's just very tactical.
Yeah. And as Lauren said, don't you have to have sex to have kids?
This is just ridiculous.
Maybe they'll adopt. So he doesn't have to sleep with her.
All right. Well, then who is he going to sleep with? Because come on. I mean, even that, when he said something like, we didn't have a sexual spark at the wedding. Well, Tori did.
Yeah.
We know that Tori did.
She couldn't get enough. She was drooling all over him.
Exactly. And then on the honeymoon, they were all over each other.
Where
but there's no sexual
up,
spark.
Climbing up and down that rope.
Oh. But, you know, and then he said something like, as long as there's progress, I'm happy.
Well, what's the progress?
Yeah. And is Tori happy? Like, it's always, I'm happy. I'm doing this. Do you remember when he said something like, I'm setting us up for a great relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, completely on your own, are you?
But Tori seems happy because now he's dropped another crumb of, if you're ready for kids in 2 years, I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she said now she feels safe and secure now that he said that. Which is interesting, isn't it? Because literally the night before she was saying she was questioning the trust.
Yeah.
And all of that.
And now he said something that he absolutely doesn't have to back up.
Yeah.
But
he can't possibly back it up for another 2 years. Yeah.
Then now she's safe and secure.
Yeah. But we didn't see the reverse questions.
Yeah, you always want to see
the reverse. Which I thought was interesting. Yeah. We didn't see Jack and Tori's questions for Lauren and Jono. I think would have been interesting.
It would have been. But I don't know, based on what we saw of Jono and Lauren at the commitment ceremony, I think it would be, things are going well. And also, I think they are quite authentic. I think they would answer things genuinely. So it's probably not that interesting, really.
Only because it's Jack and Tori writing the questions.
Well, that's
would
true.
It have been interesting?
Yes, that would have been the interesting thing about it, to see what they would try and dig up.
Yeah.
You know, for all they say, they're not bothered what anyone else thinks. They love having a bitch about people themselves, don't they? Like you say, being derogatory about every couple.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to see the tone of their questions.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to back to Tim and Sarah, I guess, and the meeting with Jaden and Eden, Richard and Andrea had set Timothy and Lucinda the task of sleeping together. Well, yeah. not having sex. You can't really demand that. But
I think we might be crossing an ethical line there.
But it's maths feedback week. You know what you signed up for.
You must do what I tell you to do.
Yeah. No, just sleeping in the same bed.
Literally sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Timothy loved it.
It was funny.
Initially, again, a Friends reference, when Lucinda came in for a cuddle and he got her in, and you could see the look on his face where he was like, oh, God. I did, again, think of Ross telling Chandler about, you remember when he's using the pillow and he's like, hug for her, roll for you.
Yeah.
Like, just rolling her away so we can have some space. But he loved it.
He did. He slept like a baby, even though babies don't sleep.
Yes. And ended up dismantling the man cave.
I know. He can't have slept well in there. There's no bed. What was he sleeping on, that sofa covered in all of his stuff?
Yeah. So he made some comment, didn't he, about like being back in a bed?
Yeah.
God.
But that's his choice.
Wow. That is Even if I didn't fancy her, I'd want to sleep in the bed.
You could do the pillow wall.
The pillow wall.
Which was Collins's, the biggest pillow wall Collins's, we've ever seen. Yeah. Do a Collins pillow wall. But then he said, did Lucinda say something like, are you happy, I'm happy? And he said yes.
Oh, did you know, I missed
sweet.
That as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Nice, wasn't it?
Again, slow burn kind of thing, but things do seem to be picking up a little.
Yeah, but
I still don't think he's like, sir.
I just don't think he fancies her. Like, this, again, bit similar to Cass and Tristan. We're 6 weeks in now. I know they have a laugh together and they have a lot of fun together, but like, do they flirt? Do they kiss? Do they hold hands? Do they have some spontaneous hugging? You know, is there some sexual attraction there or not? Still at this point in time. And sleeping in the bed, maybe that's a step towards some sexual attraction. I don't know. But there is a difference between hugging in the bed and something else happening.
Yeah.
That would indicate a sexual spark.
Do you think she slept with her shirt on?
Yeah.
I assume they both slept.
I think she probably didn't push it too far.
Yeah. That'd be a Tristan type blunder.
God.
To sleep with the shirt off.
Yeah.
Final sort of task.
God.
Eden and Jaden going around to see Tim and Sarah. And yeah, we're going off Jaden a bit, aren't we?
I didn't like that. I didn't like his approach to that interaction.
It was too much.
It was so like, no, I'm just saying facts. No, I won't back off. It's like, just, okay, she's a person. Like, I know you don't agree with what she's done. You want to hold her accountable for it and all that type of thing, which is actually not your job to do. And if you want to help Tim, go in with some helpful questions then.
Yeah.
Don't go in with, like, this attitude of, like, I'm going to haul her over the coals. You know.
And also, it reflects badly on you because, again, going back to how you present yourself in an argument, you can say you're not being angry or in another circumstance where you're not, oh, I'm not defensive, but you clearly are.
Mm.
When you say things like, oh, I'm just saying facts, sometimes that just makes you look a bit eggy.
Yeah.
Like, you won't know this. A former Liverpool manager called Rafa Benitez. And, you know, being a Liverpool manager, he had always had a problem with Man United. And he did a press conference where he just went, in fact, was it against Chelsea? I think it was United. He went through a list of all these things, like they get these refereeing decisions. They get this much injury time, and he goes, again, it's not personal, it's just facts. I'm just saying, it's like, yeah, but you've gone away and compiled all this like stuff, and you can say you're not like being a bit petulant, a bit eggy, but
kind of seems like you are.
Yeah, yeah, there's just no way around it. That's how it comes across. And it's just like, why are you so invested? She didn't cheat on you.
Yeah.
You know, I get it, he's your mate. And yeah, there's a certain extent you should have his back.
Yeah.
And you've kind of done that. You brought it to his attention,
mm-hmm.
made it clear at the dinner party and the commitment ceremony.
Yeah.
And now we're into the third thing where you're going on about the... I mean, to be fair, the messages thing, it made me laugh and everything. I enjoyed the... It was so tense.
It was so awkward.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, in real terms, you are going a bit hard here.
Yeah. And he was really milking the five questions. Some of his questions were like, right, question number one. Have you got any text messages on your phone? Can Tim see them? When was the last text message? Who have you been texting? What did the text messages say? It's like, yeah. No.
And if they aren't
one
on
question.
Your, and if you are, they aren't on your phone, why did you do it?
Yeah.
So that's like eight questions.
You don't get three questions per one question.
Yeah.
You get five questions, Jaden.
But then, you know what, though? She has deleted the messages.
Oh, I don't know if she has.
You think she's just saying that so then she doesn't have to show them?
Yeah.
Right.
Because she took a while for her to say, yeah, I deleted them.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was thinking through in her head what would be the possible...
The least damaging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should I say I've still got them because then he's going to have to read them?
Yeah.
Or actually, is it better for me to say, no, well, I deleted them and, you know... Because she can probably win Tim round a little bit.
Yeah.
If she says she's deleted them. Like I said to you, maybe she's got no iCloud storage left. Delete those messages.
I'm not paying $2.99 a month.
I will not.
You wouldn't delete messages, though. Is enough. You just wouldn't.
They take up a lot of space.
Do they?
Yes, I've deleted messages before, Omar.
But you...
They do take up a lot of space.
You would delete full conversations. You wouldn't... You would delete a person. I've not spoken to this person since 2020. You delete that full conversation history. You wouldn't go through a particular contact and be, oh, well, this is just us saying we're going to meet at a bar at 6 o'clock, which is what she said she'd deleted. Oh, it's just the logistics of us meeting kind of thing.
Yeah.
No one deletes those messages.
No, you would go to your storage thing that tells you what you're using all your storage on.
Right.
And then it would tell you, consider deleting some messages or something.
Uh-huh.
And then you delete it from there.
Yeah, but like say...
she's been messaging this person for the past 10 years. That's a lot of storage.
Yeah, but you wouldn't delete anything in the last couple of months.
No. I don't think she's deleted them.
No. But you're right, though, because it kept cutting back to Eden as well. And Eden was saying that the question is, have you got the messages or have you deleted them?
Yeah.
We've been talking for another few minutes and we still don't know if you've got them or deleted them.
Because she knows that if she'd said, yes, I've still got them... How would she then say, I'm not going to show them to Tim?
Yeah, though? Well, why can't you just... she can't use that argument again.
Yeah, exactly.
Why can't you just trust me? Because of all the stuff that's happened. I didn't trust you then, but I sort of had to. Because I didn't have a good argument not to.
But now I do.
Yeah.
Show the messages. Yeah. No, she hadn't deleted them. As soon as Jaden and Eden left, that's why she wanted to spend some time on her own. She's gone straight in that bathroom and deleted those messages.
Oh God, yeah.
No, but I don't think I don't think she had deleted them. I really don't.
So we've got another feedback episode Wednesday night, presumably with the couples who we haven't seen.
Yep.
And like I say, I'm interested to see if we get anything with Tristan and Cassandra.
Oh yeah.
So next time we talk to you will be on Friday. We'll have done our live show.
Ooh. Well, Sarah, we'll either be on a total high or just absolutely shattered. We might need some coffee and some sugar.
Yeah, we might be like overtired and a bit giddy.
Yeah.
Probably a combination of both things, you know.
And Sarah will be back.
Sarah will be back, so we'll definitely need some coffee.
We'll not give Sarah any. Sorry, she don't drink it.
Don't know, she might be jet-lagged or something. She might be
be jet-lagged, yeah.
She might be talking at like 0.75 speed. So until Friday, I've been Omar Abid.
I've been Claire Limmer Abid.
So sorry, can I just finish what I was saying? I was just getting to something. I can't remember what it was now.
You've got a new point now.
it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.